Thank you for that, Ella. I was going to start just by taking you right back to the very first slide that you showed, which is that sort of the belt call out, or it read almost, you read it out almost like a kind of manifesto. And I wrote down at the beginning, does that still count? Does that document still, has it determined, or do you still think of it as being a kind of something you're still working on? And if not, why not? And what's dropped and what's changed and what's... Because one word that you mentioned right at the end, which is in there about passion, and I'm interested that that word passion has been kind of co-opted by all that kind of MasterChef, X Factor, sport. Everyone's got to be passionate. It doesn't matter if they're any good or not.
Yeah.
If they're passionate, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I wonder, because that's one word that jumped out, and I wondered if you just wanted to talk about that kind of list a bit.
Yeah. No, that's it does it. I mean, I'm not referring to it much at all, and I was just through this, I came across it again, and I thought, this is still relevant. How come? It's how many years later? And it felt, you know, okay, there is this cycle, and we're asking the same questions, and what does that mean in terms of how we're motivated? And is the whole notion of repeating as well, repeating oneself in the search and the passion actually for trying to do something, whatever that might be. And with belt, you know, when we're all brainstorming and talking about what is it then, the questions there, I was thinking, can I answer any of them now? I'm not sure I can, because they are still questions, are still sort of embedded, really. So they're little seeds still that haven't still need to be. Yeah, I think. I mean, I guess there's different ways in which one. The passion. It rises and then it goes again, doesn't it? And but at the same time, working in that way, I feel like there's always a similar sort of force that has to come to start any project.
And have you got projects that you kind of haven't, they've sort of never caught fire because that something is missing, or it doesn't quite, it's not a funding thing or a space thing, but it's a,
I mean, because I showed really the project I've shown have been all very, they're all commissions and quite large scale, but smaller ones have actually, probably some of them mean much more to me actually.
Right.
But yeah, there are definitely, failure is part of everything. There was one project, Common Room Productions, which I haven't shown, which was almost a 2-year residency, which in halfway through I was just like, I can't, this is just impossible.
Right.
And there was a breakdown moment, but it was in, it was in a halfway house. It was a very extreme situation.
Right.
But it actually then... And there have been, but it often then comes to a point where that's why I think collaboration and working with people is just extraordinary, because it's like problem solving, and if you come across something and it's sort of dying on its feet, then you can open it up and talk to people and bring in fresh ideas, and then...
Something can happen.
It's like, it's like a sort of little a composition. I imagine writing a music score or something, I don't know. Like, if only I could. But, yeah.
Thank you. Anybody?
Yes, sorry.
You mentioned that before you moved to London, that you'd never really worked in collaboration with anybody before. Was there a reason why you didn't work in collaboration, or did it just happen to that circumstance?
Yeah, I mean, actually, saying that, I did work in collaboration, but it was more, the undercurrents of things. I was doing solo sort of performance action, but I went to, I took part in a workshop called Shave International Artist Workshop, just before moving to London, which was a 14-day kind of retreat in Somerset, where they invited artists from all over the world to go and live and work there on a farm, and it totally changed my life. And that was where I met a fellow, Françoise Rod, who her and I started working together for many years actually, and it sort of opened up the possibility of collaboration, because at art school that wasn't really, I think I'd been sort of channeled to think about the notion of the artist as the individual, and it did take quite a long time for that to just disperse, you know, and actually the possibilities are, you know, for us as human beings and what it is that we want to do with the art are endless, and, you know, and so, yeah, I felt like that was a changing point to have the possibility of, I mean, being in almost, yeah, challenge, just challenge really, to start working outside of the box with oneself.
Right, two quick questions. One, first one, why is what you do art?
Yeah, that's always asked.
And the other is, why didn't you buy a new energy cafe?
Why didn't, I'll start with that one. Why didn't I buy a new one?
Well,
it's not the right time now. I haven't got the resources, I haven't got the funding, I haven't got the energy to do it, because it was a 5-year project that basically, or 4 years project that has, that evolved organically. It's not something that could, I think, if it happened again, it would have to be something completely different. I wouldn't want to repeat it. It would have to be an improved version. It would have to be something else, you know, that is, I would be fantastic if other people started doing it if they wanted to, but I don't feel like that's the right way to go. And why is it art? Well, I think, you know, it's what I've been doing. It's an investigation, and it's a creative in the process. I mean, basically, I'm working with the process most of the time, which is trying to find a sort of a creative process with what I do. And I don't know, everyone, this question, is it art or not, is quite an odd one, because I don't know if I can ever answer it, because I don't know if that really matters. It's within the art context that it happens. It's been kind of navigated, all the big public art commissions that I've done have been a lot, some of them have been kind of guided through the commissioning brief in a way. So curators have given us a brief which is looking at more of a public social space, I guess.
Is it a social sculpting?
Could be. Yeah. I mean, I've been very interested in performance as well. So it sort of comes from a very alive background, where, yeah, I mean, in program, every moment I felt was part of a moving sculptural storyboard.
But there's been a move,
animation.
From what you've said today, there's been a move from the studio space, which was your living in studio space at Bell, into a kind of gallery space at the Whitechapel.
Yeah.
And then out of the sort of the art world space,
yeah,
and into a more the common space. There's been that kind of the journey of the space has been,
yeah,
quite interesting.
No, and it's given me a confidence really as well to move in and out of those spaces is what I find really inspiring, you know, to be able to also link them. So I guess, yeah, the art space is something I'm interested in. The creative space is I'm interested in. Artworks can happen within it or not. I mean, why did you ask that question?
The
art, well, about being, about the art.
Whether it's art or not,
yeah.
Why is it art? The work that I do is arguably, it is art, because I say it is, and I cannot conceptualise it, but it's equally, it's a social engagement, and it's also a commercial business. And so I was wondering, and yeah, I have to conceptualise it as art for the purpose of this degree. And so part of my journey is like, why is this art?
Do you get asked that a lot?
Why?
Yeah. Or is that, have you had that in the past and it's sort of gone away now? Sorry.
No, no, it's...
Well, you know, it was part of the answer is not because I'm And so if I make something that I know is art, then it is. I think if you make things that have if you make it knowing it's art, then it takes on the form of art, because art has no rules, and so it has a much more fluid and organic structure to it, and it finds its own way. And so it's art because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Because I always see these projects, and we were just talking in between your talk and this, about Grisdale, because a lot of the some stuff they've been doing, rearing chickens and making jam and selling it at Freeze, and all, so it's not a million miles away from some of the things you've spoken about.
Yeah.
But they're kind of tucked away at the top of the country, and people sort of forget about them until they appear, sort of thing. It seems to me that quite a lot of art institutions, one way or another, art practitioners find a way of doing stuff that wouldn't fit anywhere else. So it kind of works with the art world because there's some funding there, and there's some available, some space, and there's some manpower, and there's kind of things they need there. Mm. And not that I'm not denigrating it as a practice or anything. It just seems like it kind of ends up being art, because it can't be to do it through the council or to set up a cafe properly with the licensing or whatever, it becomes quite a bureaucratic. No, but like you say, there's a pragmatism about making.
Mm.
Being an art project, you can kind of get access to temporary stuff, and people seem to want to join in.
I mean, it is very, since sort of all the funding and governmental agendas around sort of community involvement and community participation it's a real minefield, because actually, I mean, to keep an edge and a critique with what you do is quite difficult, actually, if you want to get funding, to be honest. Or it can become sort of part of a very political sort of correctness, sort of, I think. And that's where I want to move away from it completely as well, that kind of work, that's not what I'm interested in.
Because one of the progenitors for this kind of stuff is like the diggers.
Yeah.
The sort of pre-hippie thing.
Yeah.
Kind of just doing it themselves. But that ended up being quite entrepreneurial, because they all went on to set up global companies and stuff, and these things get appropriated out of.
If
the Energy Cafe become kind of really effective and a good brand, or kind of, because you said the word brand, we got people down to brand it.
Yeah,
and
it needed to be branded.
Really,
actually, that was interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then that. Well, what if it had gone really well and someone said, "Well, I'd like to do one.
Yeah,
I've got this truck and we're going to go and do it," and they'd become really kind of successful in a commercial, straightforward way.
Well, we've put a sort of Creative Commons copyright on it, which means basically that it needs to be credited, whether or not, but it can be reproduced. But because we have heard, there is somebody that's interested in doing something in Australia. They came to talk to us from Sydney, and they want to remake an energy cafe over there,
mm-hmm.
which could be interesting, definitely. But Amy and I sort of sometimes have to step back from it too, because it could probably become a very commercialized business, which maybe mm-hmm. we should have done ourselves too,
But it's not just the commercial, is it? It's the way it becomes, as you're saying, instrumentalized kind of local authority cultural agendas.
Yeah.
And at what point do you understand that that practice has been somehow useful? Local government policy.
Yeah.
So you're saying there are moments where you felt that and you've moved away from it, and it's kind of interesting. At what point do you sense it?
Yeah, exactly.
And then what do you do to kind of distance yourself from those agendas that you end up potentially serving?
Yeah, exactly. I know. But it's a really fine line, actually, I think. Definitely. Because everything goes into question. And also how you make a living. And if you can start to think about that within the work that you're doing, I mean, I think that's really important for my own, personal self. But it's, and this is also why I was interested in, the notion of the work, labour, action, and how that can address some of those issues, really, in terms of, the practicalities too, in the daily making of art work, and how we make it real.
There's this tradition of artists kind of occupying disused spaces, but in a cynical way, there's sort of these real estate investors that open their spaces up to artists to kind of use
to drive
the price up, and it makes it kind of more.
Yeah, which is happening in East London. I mean, it's happened loads. I mean, and where, the Olympic Village is probably going to happen there because they're already asking for many proposals from artists to liven it up and to get the imagination going and bring the people in. I mean, that is the way, the movement of it is quite interesting, I find.
But as we've seen it again, I mean, the Soho and Haight Ashbury and all these other areas where they've had space that's run down, artists move in, do it up. Artists like coffee and pasta, suddenly open a cafe and then suddenly the lawyers move in because they like that too.
Absolutely.
But they're like the stormtroopers, aren't they?
The Blitzkrieg
court. Yeah.
Is it wrong that happened?
Well, I was just going to say, that's where we are at now. So what do we do? Mm. Is that part of our sort of everyday culture?
I don't know whether it's wrong or right. It's just whether, whose interests is it serving? And
the documentation actually realise the implications of what you've done. Sorry, that wasn't a question, just a comment.
No, absolutely.
I wonder if the documentation is that important, really. I mean, obviously, there's lots of photographs and you showed us lots of stuff, and I really like the Whitechapel archive that was kind of pushed down assault.
I know, that's what I felt. And I thought
it was a very big assault from Saturday as well.
No, I can imagine. And I was thinking that is really, you know, in a way, that was the starting point to something which it proliferated and proliferated.
But the spare time, the drawings that people did.
I've got an enormous library.
That seems like the documentation to me, drawings of people, of palm trees and beaches and beds and restaurants. I mean, that seems like much more interesting documentation than photographs of people drawing those pictures.
Yeah,
the pictures are more
absolutely.
Interesting.
And I have, exactly. There's things that to pick those things which can exist in their own right anyway.
Because there's a danger, isn't there, when you document something, you have to be sort of fair and
reflect
the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And it becomes like a summary of the thing, but some people may have only come for the morning and they don't know that you had a restaurant, or they didn't. And it seems sort of utopian to try and document the whole complicated thing. You can't.
Yeah.
You can only deal with the bits left
the
over, the detritus. Yeah.
Part of, yeah. But I think that comes after time a bit, doesn't it? You know, in terms of like showing the program website.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to go crazy then.
No, it's
just
good.
To allow that to happen. But before, I haven't, because it's almost too close,
mm-hmm.
you know. So for documentation to have its own energy,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it takes a while, I think, to be able to see it.
Like I say, people take their kind of rumour and their little story with them, and that's it's sort of out, it becomes viral, you know, it becomes something that is in the exchange when people talk about it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, and it's really, really cheeky question, but you talked about the Energy Cafe and that common space, people could do whatever they liked. If the BNP had turned up and said, we want a rally, it's a commons, we can do it.
I know, we talked about that.
Because it's like, if they can do what they like, they can do what they like, and there's a problem with liberalism, isn't there?
Yeah, I know. We did talk about that, and we never came to any conclusion because we didn't get approached, you see, and this is the question, you see. I think that there would have been, we did get some quite extremists about the gypsies actually coming in,
mm-hmm.
and we were prepared to listen to them and talk to them, but we would have... I don't know what we would have done, actually, if they...
Because it kind of falls back on itself,
more.
The kind of utopia breaks, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, I know, because in a way, this is a... That was the idea, that it is open to everyone. So we would have to be prepared that could happen.
Sure.
You can't create a utopia with a dysfunctional people. Utopia is, as a society, an externalization of our collective consciousness. It's as simple as that, it must be. And so you can't make a utopia. Utopia occurs when people become more enlightened. I'm sure we'll be trying to create a system whereby, yes, you can do anything in space. Then that can have the potential to
Yeah, no, it is interesting how these things, I don't know. I mean, with the Energy Cafe, the utopia was, I mean, it was, we weren't doing it to create a utopia,
no.
But we wanted this idea of the common space to be very, you know, present.
Sure.
So I think in a way we would have put a blog post up, we would have done everything we, you know, to incorporate, to reveal, you know,
yeah.
that these issues are very live
yeah.
here somehow. It would have taken a place. We have to, I mean, this is a thing, you remain impartial in some form or another, but I think, I don't know what would have happened behind the scenes.
Sure, you know, I know, I completely understand.
Well, no, I mean, not personally. It's just as a project somehow. When you're, I mean, putting it out on the blog or something, I don't know how we would have presented it, but it would have been probably quite just, this is how it is, you know, keeping with the fact.
I think, can I just go back to the thing you were saying, the discussion around the instrumentalisation of the practice, because I think one of the interesting things about the way you worked is the importance of it being where you live and that giving you a sense of investment in the area that I think is quite different from the sort of international jet-setting group of artists who work in this collaborative, participatory way. And on that sort of thing about the relationship with the art world and things like fulfilling local authorities' agendas, I think one of the reasons that this whole issue about is it art or not arises is because the artist's ego and the desire for success on those terms in the art world. But I just wonder, sorry, this is really convoluted, but I just wonder whether the fact that you are operating within the area where you live and have an investment, whether that actually opens up the possibility for the artist to have a very different type of role
within
society, not within the art world. It's almost like the art world.
Yeah, I think
you're less dependent on it.
Yeah,
I
mean, I found it really important, and I think that's where the Energy Cafe is really taken the practice somewhere else too, to be able to work in many different kinds of places. I mean, whether it's in the locality or not, I think anyway, that's what I'm really interested in. I don't feel bound to the art world. And I mean, but at the same time, it's there as some, well, it has been there as a supporting space too. But I find it really interesting to be able to, you know, that for the last 15 years before living on the boat, been living in a council estate and part of their sort of activist, the residential activist group, and we've done loads of stuff and taken the council to court and then run different projects in the block. And because of being very familiar probably to the area, but also to ways of working, actually, structures that we've sort of made happen in different contexts. But I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, now, like with Vyner Street, it's completely changed from 10 years ago. I hardly recognise it. So in a way, London is constantly changing anyway. So I could be, on another planet, not necessarily in the local area. And I really would like to be out of London now. It's time to move on.
Thank you very much. We have to wind
you.
It up. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, everyone.